Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Dwayne, and welcome back to Encounter Life Church. I'm so glad that you could join us this morning for our online worship experience. If this is your first time entering in with us here at Encounter Life Online, could you do me a favor? Can you text the word new? That's N-E-W, new. That's in the message. In the message, type new, and the number you're going to send that text to is 301-804-2520. We just want to say what's up. We're glad that you worship with us, and also just give you an update on some of the things that are going on here at Encounter Life Church. So just again, thank you for all of you who are, this is your first time. And those of you who are returning, again, welcome back. I'm glad you're back joining us today. We pray that you've been blessed by the word of God. We pray that you've been encouraged by what God is doing. Listen, we also want to thank all of you for your support. Those of you who have been continuing to support us online. Just to give you a couple of updates, again, time is changing. Things are going on. School is back in session, and at Encounter Life, we're getting ramped up. We're getting prepared to where we will regather again. I don't want to say reopen because the church has never been closed. The building may not have been open, but the church is always fully operational. But we're getting ready to regather again. And I know a couple of weeks ago, I said we would, our target date was going to be September the 20th. What we're going to be doing, there's a little change in that time frame. Next Sunday, which is September the 20th, we're going to do another drive-in worship experience right here on the campus of Encounter Life Church. We'll do another drive-in worship experience. We had one 2 weeks ago. It was amazing. So I encourage you, join us at 10 a.m. next Sunday. That is September the 20th right here on the campus for our 10 a.m. drive-in worship experience. You can come drive in your car. If you want to stay in your car, you can do that. If you want to bring your lawn chair, you can bring that and pop it out of your trunk and sit out right by your car and just enjoy the time of worship in the word and fellowship from a distance, and honk your horn if you love Jesus. So we're excited about our drive-in worship experience. We hope you can join us right here. The address is 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland. That's 20748, 2200 Colbert Drive in Temple Hills, Maryland. We hope to see you here for our drive-in worship. If you cannot make the drive-in worship, don't worry. You will still be able to join us. We'll still be online at our regular times as well. We'll have the online worship experience as well. Amen. Listen, today is our second week in our series titled, I Love Jesus, But I Hate. And what do you know what I hate is? I love Jesus, but I don't necessarily like church too much. And right now, it's kind of a fitting series because so many churches are closed. The doors are closed. And as I said last week, I believe it's God's opportunity and God's way of showing us that, look, you know what? I want to really get the church back to what it's supposed to be about. And over the years, I don't know about you. I've heard it. I've grown up in church, and there are certain things about church I know I haven't liked, and certain things, I guess, about church that I've been guilty of perpetrating as well. We talked about last week, one of the things that people say that they don't like about church is that people can be judgmental and hypocritical. And it's so interesting. I ran into a young man that last week after the message, and that was, I got a chance to sit and share the gospel with him, and that was one of the things. I grew up in church. And he said, I stopped because people were hypocritical and judgmental. I was like, wow, man, you know, you just mentioned my message for last week. And that's so true. I mean, sometimes it's hard. It's so easy for us as followers of Christ to have our list of do's and don'ts that we follow. And when we follow them, I'm a good Christian. And if you don't follow them, you're not a good Christian. And we can kind of look at people funny. But we found out last week what should be the overriding principle. It's not judgment. We got to be consistent. We got to be able to hold up and not be hypocritical, but be consistent. But you know what? When we do all things with this overriding principle, love, man, love covers a multitude of faults. Let's get into that a little bit. But before I go any further, what we're going to talk about this week, can I pray? Can you guys pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful, Lord God, because you called the church. The church, Lord, are the called out ones, ecclesia. Lord, I thank you that the church is more than just a building, but you've called us, Lord, those who have put our faith and trust in your son, Jesus Christ, is to be Lord and Savior of our life. You've called us to be the church, those who are called out. And I pray, Lord, that we will represent you well. Forgive us when we have been a poor representation of who you are, a poor representation of our Savior. Lord, for when we've misrepresented you and it's turned people the other way, Lord, forgive us for that. Lord, help us to hold out the word of life and to represent you well. I pray, Lord, for somebody today who's watching and or listening that has grown up in church and maybe have been turned off by somebody or something or something that has hurt them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will heal those wounds. And Lord God, return them to a right relationship with you and also into a relationship with the body of Christ, Lord God, because it's the church that you have ordained. Lord, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We said last week that the overarching principle, yes, sometimes in church folks can be hypocritical. We can hold up a standard that sometimes we're not holding up to ourselves. And we can be judgmental. We can look at other people with the judgmental eyes. Jesus, and in the Bible, it talks to us about being careful that we take that beam out of our eye before I look at the speck in your eye. You know what? And we said, well, the overriding principle ought to be love. And where did that love come from? Last week, we said the love came from three areas. Number one, that love came out of a pure heart. See, when you have a pure heart, a heart that is totally committed to God, and when you have a heart that's totally committed to God, it'll spark a love for God, and also a love that the God of love will be, God's love will be shed abroad in your hearts, and it'll be transferred to other people. A love for God and a love for people. We said that was a total commitment. That love comes out of a total commitment. And when I understand a God who loved me and all his love, we love because he first loved us. And then when I have that total commitment to God, we said also that love comes from not just a pure heart, but it comes from a clear conscience. We call that transparency. And we gave the illustration of having a clear thing of water. And when that clear thing is water, we think of purity. But whenever we mix anything with that heart that is supposed to be pure and perfect toward God, whatever I pour into it, even if it's not a bad thing, even if it's a good thing, it clouds that water and it leads to a heart that's no longer transparent, a conscience that's not clear. And we said that love comes out of having a clear conscience. A clear conscience, does that mean I'm perfect? No. But it means that I'm striving for perfection. And it means that whenever I have dropped the ball, that not only does God know about it, but I'm an open book. My life is open and laid bare before God and my brothers and sisters in Christ who can help encourage me in my walk with God. That's what God wants us to be as the church, transparent. Too often in church, we're not transparent. Everybody's coming in wearing a mask. We look like we got it together, but there's some stuff we're hiding. And what God wants us to, that we're hiding, and God wants us as a church to be people who have pure hearts. And when I have a pure heart, I'm willing to let you see, man, I'm an open book. So we got to be transparent. But when you recognize that a God, the God of the universe, the God who made you to love you, when you're totally committed to him and you come with him in all transparency and he loves you just like you are, he loves you in spite of all of your frailties and all of your failures, he loves you in spite of that. You know what it does? It leads to a true faith that you put your faith and trust in God and a God who loves you unconditionally. And when you do that, when you have that, you know what that does? That's attractive. That draws people. That lifts him up. And he said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's where we were last week. We said, look, our overarching principle should be love. And if love is our overarching principle, you know, that kind of leads us to where we're going this week. I said last week, some people say they don't like church because people are judgmental and hypocritical. But, you know, I read a survey. I gave a survey last week that Lifeway did from 2017 of millennials. And they talked about their top five reasons, some of their top reasons for not attending church. And that was one, judgmental and hypocritical. But another reason that I may have shared last week, the other reason that we're going to be dealing with today, that some young people, and not just young people, but people all over say, you know what? I love Jesus, but I'm not sure about this church thing. It's because of the church's stance on social and political issues. Or should I say the church's stance or lack thereof on social and political issues. And again, we're in a series, we're in the book of 1 Timothy. And today we're just going to jump into 1 Timothy chapter 2. And you might say, you know, and especially right now, man, how fitting is this in this time in which we're living where there's so much social justice issues going on that, you know, we have a lot of issues where we're asking ourselves as a church, where should we stand when it comes to social justice and some of the other issues? And where should we stand in our political views? And I believe God's word has something to say. And I love it. I love these principles that you can pull out right here in 1 Timothy as Paul was writing to 1 Timothy to Timothy right here and giving Timothy, this young pastor, instruction about what the church should be about. And if we look in chapter 2, what does he say to Timothy? And I believe we can find the principles of where the church, what our perspective should be when it comes to our political and social views. And you know what? There's three things that we're going to talk about today. Three things right out of this passage. I want to look at the first seven verses. First, I'm reading from New Living Translation. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. Verses 1 through 6. What are the three things? What is our view? Where should we stand as a church when it comes to political and social views and social issues? I think this is important because what we are to be, we're supposed to hold out the light. And I think this is so important right now because there are so many political parties and then social groups that are jockeying for position, and they're actually petitioning and trying to get people in the church on one side or the other. And I believe that as the body of Christ, we should sit outside of all of them. We should stand for kingdom, not for any particular party or particular group. We need to have a kingdom agenda. And what is our view? Where should our stand? What is our approach be when it comes to our political and our social issues? Number one, I'm going to tell you what our approach should be. Number one, be prayerful. Say, be prayerful. It's right here. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for some people. No, it says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. And what does he ask us to pray? Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. What your first view should be, your first approach to it when it comes to political and social issues as the church, he says, I want you to pray for all people. Church, what God is calling us to do, especially right now in this climate that we are in, when it comes to social justice, when it comes to who should I vote for, God is calling you to what? Be prayerful. And he gives us Paul gives Timothy specific ways that you should pray when it comes to your social and political stance. Because the church, we should not be silent, but we also should not be taken prisoner or hostage by one party, one group, or the other. We got to stand on the truth of God's word. So we got to be prayerful. But what does he say? He said, well, I want you to pray for who? All people. Man, that's social issues right there. Every people group. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, gay, straight. It doesn't matter. God tells you to what? Pray for all people, whether you're pro-life, pro-choice. Guess what? God is calling me as a believer to pray for who? All people. And how does he want me to pray? This is it. Look at it right here. It doesn't matter what your necessarily political leaning is. Yes, there are some issues that God has given us some clarity in his word where we should stand. But what does God want us to do? He said, number one, I want you to ask God to help them. He said, you pray, what did it mean? To ask God to help them. And some of your Bibles will read, make petitions. Petitions. What is that? That means specific requests. Pray for specific needs of all people. Specific needs of all people. And then he goes on in verse 2 to specify that especially when it comes to our kings and those in authority. Those are our leaders. Those are our political leaders. He said, how? Pray for specific needs. Well, you know what? In order for me to pray for a specific need, if my brother or my sister, if I need to pray for a specific need, I need to know what that need is. And what better way to pray to get a need is I got to spend some time interacting with you in order for me to find out that need. See, sometime right now when we're talking about this issue of social justice, and I preached this several months ago, there's so many different ideologies and people. You know what's happening? People are not spending time interacting, listening to one another so you can even find out what the need is. See, if I'm going to pray for specific, make a petition on for you, I got to know what the need is. And the only way for me to get to what the need is, I got to be able to be willing to come where you are to interact with you so that I can feel your pain and hear what you need. See, God is calling me to pray, and he's calling me to pray for make petition. That means find out what the specific need my brother is. What is the specific need in that social context? What is that specific need for that man in authority or woman in authority? God is calling me to find out specific needs, and in order for me to do that, I got to spend some time. And as the church, what does that mean? We got to get our hands dirty, y'all. See, I can't be just sitting up in my house and in my church building. That's why God has closed the doors of the church. That's why the building is closed, because he said, look, y'all been coming to church and going inside the four walls of the church. You don't even know what the needs of the community are anymore. Y'all don't even know what the needs of the community. So I'm going to call you out of your context where you're comfortable and put you into a place where you got to find out what are the needs of the community. What are the needs of the people in the social context that God has placed you in? That's why at our church right here at Encounter Life, our vision is that what we want to do, our mission is that we exalt God's presence. We enlarge his kingdom. We equip his people and express his love. And the last part says, as we engage the culture. For too long, the church has not engaged the culture. And so the culture is like, man, they're completely out of touch. See, what is our stance on political and social issues? Number, we got to be prayerful, but we got to be prayerful in certain areas. How do we pray? We need to pray for specific needs. But then the next thing, he said, you got to ask God to help them, find out what their needs. And I ask God to help people when I can feel their pain. Do you empathize with the need, the social needs that are in our community, that are in our world? God is calling us, the church, to be able to empathize. Our Savior, the heart of our Savior, said he looked upon the masses and he looked upon them with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Too often the church has lost its compassion. That's what God is calling us to be prayerful. We got to know the specific needs. But number two, he said, now I want you to intercession. Also make intercession. To intercede is to intervene on the behalf of somebody. You know, originally that word intercede, the verb right there that's used for intercede, meant to encounter or to meet. And it's so for somebody who's got access, what God is calling me is the one who has access to go in on behalf of the person who may not have access. Yeah. Because as the church, see, now he's called us to call out ones. We have the name, we have Christ's name on us. And he said, now he's given me access. Because I have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, now there is no dividing wall between me and him. And he said, now I can go directly to the Father and let him know my request and have the assurance that when I ask according to his will, not only does he hear me, but I have what I asked for. And with that kind of access, God is telling me, intercede for everybody. My question, church, is how often are we interceding for people that we don't agree with their political views? How often are we going in and interceding, finding out specific needs, and then going in on behalf of somebody and asking for somebody for something from God that they might not have access to themselves? God is calling us to do that. And see, you know, when you begin to do that, it'll change the way you look at people. It'll change the way you talk about folks and approach this whole social and political climate. He's calling you to pray for specific needs. And in order to find out specific needs, I got to spend time with the people to find out what the needs are. Then he's telling me to intercede. That means to encounter, to meet, to go into the presence of God on behalf of somebody who can't get in. That's what God is calling the church to do. We're supposed to be the intercessors. We're supposed to be the one. God has said he's given us the message of reconciliation, the one who's reconciling lost man to God. But then also he says, and give thanks for them. God is calling us to pray for everybody. How? For specific needs, to make intercession, and to give thanks for them. Man, God is calling me to say, God, I thank you for that brother or that sister that I disagree with them on a specific political issue. I thank you, and I thank you for that brother or sister that I may even disagree with on a particular social, economic issue. I'm thankful. He said, I want you to make that kind of prayer for everybody. And do you know when you have to pray for somebody, it affects how you view that person. It's hard for me to be angry and to be spiteful and to be hateful against somebody that I'm praying that God meet their needs, that I'm interceding on behalf for them, and I'm thanking God for them every day. Man, that will change my whole perspective on how I view that person. Can I say this is a convicting thing to say? Because sometimes, you know, when I see, especially in our climate, and we look what's going on, sometimes I don't always agree with our president. I don't always agree with the person who's in leadership in our country. God knows that. But God convicted me and said, Dwayne, but are you interceding for him? Are you asking for his specific need? You know, one specific need that every man has is to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Dwayne, are you thanking God for? God is calling us. That's the political, social environment. He wants us to be prayerful. What do we need to pray? We need to pray, God, that you'll help them. Help them meet their specific needs. God, I'm going to intercede. I'm coming as a go-between on behalf of them. And I thank God for them. Begin to make that the mindset that you have when it comes to politics, when it comes to our social issues. And watch. You know what that does? It leads to the next thing. He said, what should our perspective be when it comes to politics, when it comes to social issues? We ought to be prayerful. But being prayerful, does that mean I'm just prayerful and I don't do anything? No, that doesn't mean that. St. Augustine said, listen, you need to pray like everything depends on God, but you need to work like everything depends on you. Yeah, I need to pray, but does that mean I need to pray and I don't need to vote? No, that doesn't mean that. You still need to go to the voting booth. You still need to vote, but you do that prayerfully. You do that prayerfully. And I guess, is it my job to tell you who to vote for? Mm-mm, that's not my job to do that. But I believe if you approach this with that mindset that, God, I'm coming on behalf of my brothers and sisters. I'm praying, Lord God, I'm interceding. I'm praying on behalf of specific needs, and I'm thankful. God will lead you and guide you on what decisions you should make. We ought to be prayerful. But while we ought to be prayerful, the next perspective that we ought to have when it comes on this social and political issue is because we ought to pray this way for everybody. We ought to pray this way for our president, for our senators, for our governors, for our mayors, and for every citizen, every people group, every social economic group. That ought to be our prayer. And why is it? Verse 2, he said, pray this way for your kings and all who are in authority. Why? Our second thing, we should be prayerful, but we ought to be what? Peaceful. He said, why? So that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. What God is calling us as believers is to be prayerful, but also to be peaceful. And I'm afraid right now, man, it hurts my heart that what I see in the church, I see even division in the church. Whether I'm conservative or whether I'm liberal or whatever, there's this combativeness in the church. You know, the nature of being a follower of Christ is going to be conflict. The Bible says those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer, because what God is calling us to do is go against our flesh. He's calling us to go against the grain of society. But I believe as a follower of Christ, there can be conflict without me being combative. And too often as Christians, we're not known as being peaceful, but we're known as being combative. We're more known, instead of being known as followers of Christ, we're more known for our political leanings. That should not be. What he said, I want you to pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we all can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. When they see the church, they should see a group of people that are not in combative nature, always against the establishment. Yes, we're going to come in conflict with the establishment because guess what? Our God sometimes calls us to do things and we stand for things that are against what maybe our government may be propagating. That's a natural, but I should not be seen as combative. I can have conflict in a peaceful way. I can disagree without being disagreeable and take a stand without necessarily being disagreeable. I could just take my stand. But sometimes, you know what? The church, sometimes we come across as angry. And when I say intolerant, I'm not talking about tolerant. We got to tolerate everything. Yes, because love needs to be the overarching thing. But guess what? It's not my job as the church to change you. I need to lead you to the Christ who can change your views. I can need to lead you to the Christ who can change your heart. Because sometimes where people view things is all about a heart problem. And that doesn't change till they come in contact with the Savior. So how should we be? We need to be prayerful, and we need to be prayerful. Why? Because God wants us to be also peaceful. We need to pray for our leaders so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives marked by godliness and dignity. And it's interesting that Paul is writing this to Timothy in a time where the church was in conflict, and they were in conflict with the government that was in power at that time. And so as believers, we're always going to come in conflict and we're going to clash with what's going on in our society because God has called us to come be in the world, but not of the world. But we can conflict without being combative. And you know why I say that? Because guess what? When we do that, that draws people. That's a light to say, I can take a stand. I don't have to be loud. I don't have to be angry. I could just stand on the truth of God's word. And the truth of God's word it stands on its own. And then when people ask, when I'm able to do that in a peaceful way, then I'll have to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks me a reason for the hope I have. And then what does it say? Do it with gentleness and respect. That's what God's word is calling us to do. How should I approach this political and social issues? I need to be prayerful. I need to be peaceful. And the third thing, why we must be purposeful. We got to be purposeful. See, the reason why we pray and the reason why we're prayerful so that we can have a peaceful environment because we have an overarching purpose, and it's right here. Verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. So you know what? See, this is the whole purpose. We got to be purposeful in our political views and the way we approach our social issues. The whole purpose is that he wants everyone to come to know him. He says in his word, it's not my will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And if as the church, we're loud and yelling at folks and seeming like we're not loving, guess what? It repels people from the gospel as opposed to attracting them to the gospel. Do I need to say anything goes? Nope. I can stand for truth without being combative. And the whole reason why, because I got to keep the greater purpose in mind. What is the greater purpose? He says, this is good, verse 3, and pleases God our Savior. What is the purpose? He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. And you know what? God is calling you and I to be living epistles that are seen and read, living letters that are seen and read by everybody. And how we handle and how we approach social issues, how we approach political issues, is can be a witness to the world. As a church, are we to be silent? Nope. We're to be prayerful. We pray. Are we to vote? Yep, we are. But we're to be prayerful when we're doing it. And when we're doing it, we're praying. Why? Because we want to be peaceful in our approach. We want to be peaceful in our approach, even when there's conflict, even when I disagree with you, even when I feel that you're coming in conflict with the word of God. I'm going to stand on the truth of the word, but I can do that in a peaceful way. I don't have to be combative. Why? Because I got a purpose that's greater. And what is that grander purpose? That all men come to know the truth
of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that he loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And he, listen, he loves you just like you are, and he loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants to bring all mankind back to that original relationship that we were designed for with God. And that can only happen through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ.
He came and gave his life to purchase your freedom and my freedom. See, the Bible teaches us that all of us are born separated from God. In the original state, original man was made to be in relationship with God. Man was without sin, but God in his love made man without sin, but he also made man with a free will. Because he wanted us to choose him on our own. He wanted us to choose him. He didn't want to make it such that he made us love him. It's not real relationship if you make somebody love you. So he made man without sin and gave him a free will and for him to make the choice to choose God's will over his own. And you know what man did when given the opportunity? The original man, Adam and Eve, when the original man and woman, when given an opportunity to choose what God said over what they wanted, they chose what they wanted. And what that did, that started a cascade that it put us all in a bad position. That we call that sin. Sin means to miss the mark, just to fall short of God's standard. He made man perfect without sin. And God said the only way for you and I to be in relationship is for you to be perfect without sin. But he gave us a choice. And when man chose to do his own will instead of God's, sin came and broke that relationship. And so what God said, that relationship was broken, and throughout history, his whole effort was to get that relationship back. All he wants is that relationship with you and I. And so what God established is that the only way for there to be a relationship between human beings and a perfect God is there's got to be bloodshed. There's got to be a sacrifice. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. The book of Leviticus says that everything is cleansed by the blood. When the first man sinned, what God did, he shed the blood of an animal so that he could cover the sin of Adam and Eve. And from that time, he established that if sin is going to be forgiven, blood has to be shed. And it's got to be perfect blood. And throughout time, he was given a picture of that. Well, throughout time, in Bible times, they made sacrifices to shed the blood of a lamb. But that blood didn't do it. It had to be one like us to die for us. And there was never, ever a perfect human being. Y'all, we were in bad shape. We were in a fix. See, that's why this is so important. What this whole thing is about, it's not about a political party. It's not about your social agenda. It's God's whole agenda. His whole purpose is he wants man back in relationship with him. And nobody qualified to die for us. Nobody qualified to be the sacrifice to get us back. God wanted you back that bad. And so he said, I got to do something. So the God of the universe intervened on my behalf and your behalf. This is what he did. This is the beautiful, it's the greatest story ever told. The God of the universe wanted a relationship with you so bad that he said, there's got to be a perfect human. So what I will do, I will put on human flesh and I'm going to come to earth. And I'm going to live. I'm going to be born like they're born. I'm going to live a life like they live so that I can qualify to be their sacrifice. He said, I'm going to go through everything that you go through. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like I was, but he never sinned because he had to qualify to be the perfect sacrifice. Now, this is what Jesus Christ is. Emmanuel, God in the flesh, who walked on this earth so that he can get you back with him. And he lived on this earth for 33 years, and he allowed human beings, you and I, to kill him, to shed his blood. So he could be the one to pay the sacrifice for your sins. Why? So right here in this verse 5, so that he can reconcile us. He can reconcile God and humanity.
what he did. Jesus Christ, he came, he lived, he died on a cross, and he shed his blood. He died in the most excruciating way that anyone can ever die. Listen, the word excruciating comes from out of the cross. They hung him on a cross, and he bled, and he died, and he stayed there, and he didn't want to do it, but he stayed because he knew there was a purpose. I said his purposeful. When we come to all of these other issues, the big purpose was he wanted you so bad. And the purpose was to have a relationship with you. He stayed on that cross. And he gave up his life. And he went into a grave. But because he was the God-man. See, he died. The Bible says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. By the stripes on his back, I was healed of my sin. They put him in a grave, but because he was God, he didn't stay there. He rose. And why did he have to rise? To justify you, meaning he had to rise to now make you right with God. And now all he asks is that, look, if you believe that he was the solution to your sin problem, believe that he did, that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, and then he rose again, and he did it just for you. And accept the sacrifice that he's made for you. Apply it to your life to say, yes, I accept Christ to be my substitute to pay for my sins. All he does that, if you make that decision to accept that, and now invite him to what my dad always calls it, to be the resident boss in your life. Find out what it is he wants you to do, and now do it. And when you do that, guess what? He said, I'll give you eternal life, and you'll never perish. You see, that's the greatest story ever told. In this political climate, in this social climate that we're in, we can't lose sight of the purpose. See, I love it. A friend of mine, Pastor Devin Turner of Revolution Church here in D.C., man, he said this so eloquently. I heard him say this. He said, you know what? The God of the Bible is not about the donkey or the elephant. It's about the lamb. The lamb slain, Jesus Christ, was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world to pay the price for you. Do not get held hostage by a political or social agenda. Be prayerful. We got to be peaceful. And we got to be purposeful. What is the purpose? He's not willing that any perish, but all come to him in repentance. Today, listen, if you've been watching me and you're in this political climate, and you haven't been prayerful. Sometimes I can get in my feelings. I can be honest. I haven't prayed. I just get mad and say certain things. But, you know, when you start praying for folks and praying for their specific needs and interceding and thanking God for them, it's hard to just stay mad at people. Changes my view of them. God is calling you to be prayerful. And if you say, God, I must confess, I haven't been prayerful right now when it comes to this time to vote. It's election time. And it comes all this social issues, social justice. I haven't been as prayerful as I should be. God, help me to be prayerful. Help me to reach out for those needs. Find out what the needs are of people who are crying out, the social needs. Find out what the needs in my community are. Help me to find that out and intercede and then be thankful. Also, God, help me. If I've been more on social media, I have been not less peaceful than I should be. Sometimes I can be more combative on social media. I know, you see certain people with certain political views that may differ from mine, and I'm ready to fight back. And God said, no, that's not what I've called you to be. That's not what I call you to do. Because when you're not peaceful, you lose sight of the purpose. See, I'm trying to win somebody to the kingdom. That's the whole goal. God, if you're a follower of Christ, you may need to ask God to forgive you the way this morning. But if you're not, if you have never made a decision to follow Christ, I'm going to tell you the whole goal of this whole thing is he wants a relationship with you. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior to be Lord of your life, he, again, was your substitute. And I want to give you an opportunity to invite him to come into your life today to forgive you of your sins so that you can be brought back to a right relationship with God. And as simple as A, B, C. Admit to God I ain't perfect. Believe that Jesus Christ came to be the solution for your sin, that he lived, that he died, was buried, and rose again. And then C, make the choice to invite him into your life, to be your substitute, to invite him into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. A, B, C. If you want to do that, just pray this with me. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me. I admit to you today that I have fallen short of your standard.
I admit to you today that I've sinned against you. Today also, I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again just for me. And finally, I make the choice to invite you into my life today. Forgive me of all my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Man, if you made that decision, congratulations. That's what this is all about. That's what the whole big picture of all this is all about. And if you did that, congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. And we call that family the church, the ecclesia. The church is not just this building. The church is those he's called out to be his own very own. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. The church is way bigger than a building, y'all. And I want to give you some tools to help you grow. So I want you to send a message to me to 301-804-2520. I want you to just type in the message, type N-E-X-T, next. You want to know, what do I do next? I made the decision to accept Christ, to be a part of this family that you call the church, that you call the body of Christ, to become a follower of Christ. Text the word next, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520. We're going to give you some tools so you'll know what to do next. If you don't have a mobile device, just go to our website, encounterchurch.net/next, and check on the box. There's a form there that says, I made a decision to follow, accept Christ as Lord today. You make that, do that, and we're going to connect with you, give you some tools to help you grow in your new relationship with God. Guys, listen, we're here in this time. I love Jesus, but I hate church sometimes. Some of y'all say that. Why? Because of political and social issues, the church's lack of stance or our stance on it. What does God want you to be? He wants you to be prayerful when it comes to your political views. He wants you not only to be prayerful, but to be peaceful. And finally, be purposeful. Remember, the goal is to see people won to the kingdom. Let me pray with us all today. Dear God, Heavenly Father, forgive us. As my brothers and sisters who are watching me today say that they know you as Lord and Savior, but they haven't been prayerful, peaceful, and they've lost sight of the purpose. Forgive us. Help us to get right in our focus, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Now, Lord God, dismiss us at this time with your blessing. Help us to be a light for you in the world in which you've placed us to be, to encounter this culture, Lord God, and to be change agents for you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining us here at Encounter Life Church. We look forward to seeing you drive in worship next Sunday right here, 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland. Drive in worship at 10 a.m. Tell a friend, drive up, and let's worship the Lord together. God bless you.